Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning as we have come together to worship our God. And I hope that you have been encouraged by the things that you've heard, the things that you've seen, as we work together in encouraging each other in the way that the Lord would have us to conduct ourselves. So if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to the book of Nehemiah, again, that's where the lesson will be taken from as we continue to look at our theme this year that expresses the thought of let us arise and build. And as we have seen from the book itself and the lessons that we have studied so far, we have learned some very valuable and practical lessons. And I hope as we continue in this that we'll learn even more. Because remember, this theme is taken from chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18. And it's based on really the comments that the people made after hearing Jeremiah talk about how God's hand was favorable to him and the king as he worked in their lives. And now here they are, or here he is, encouraging them to look to God and trust in him. And so the people rose from the things that Jeremiah said, or Nehemiah said, and goes, let us arise and build. And so we have seen and discussed some very valuable lessons from this particular theme. And so far, what we have looked at is acknowledging God. Remember, it takes the whole body to build, and really starts with building a better me. In other words, making sure that I am in a right relationship with God and that I'm growing and I'm doing my part. And then in our last session, we talked about the challenges to building, doing God's will, doing God's work, because it is not without its challenges. And we talked a little bit about that. We looked at the challenges that we would face, such as discouragement. We would also face oppositions by others towards our efforts to serve God, to do his will. And we also saw in the challenge of extending ourselves, as we saw with the builders here, some of them, as they were carrying the load in one hand, they had a sword in the other hand, having to fight and protect themselves, as we see from the book. And so this morning, what I will be dealing with is talking about how to overcome those challenges. Now, this is going to be addressed maybe down the road some more in regards to our theme this year, but just a few things to look at to help us to arise and build, and as we face those discouragements, to overcome them. And so I titled the lesson this morning as Overcoming Challenges and Struggles. Remember, let us arise and build. It's not going to be easy. And we can overcome those challenges. We can overcome those struggles. So let's begin by looking at some passages. And I want you to look at them and see what you think, because we have mentioned them quite a bit in the first several studies of our theme this year. For example, over in Nehemiah chapter 1, notice verse 4 of what's going on as Nehemiah again, as he had heard about those things or heard the words concerning Jerusalem broken down and the gates are burned with fire. And he says, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, what would you request? As the king noticed the disposition of Nehemiah and wanted to know how he could help. And so Nehemiah, what he does in verse 4, it says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Look over in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Again, in chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. He says, hear, O our God, how we are despised Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in the land of captivity. Remember, here are some challenges. There are some struggles that he's going, they are experiencing in arising and building or doing the work of the Lord. And notice what they do or what is done. Verse 5, do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before you. For they have demoralized the builders. As you look at these things, you begin to see a pattern developing. Look over in chapter 6 and verse 9. It starts to give you a clue on how to overcome challenges and struggles that we might face in doing the work of the Lord. In verse 9, for all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking that they would become, discouraged with the work. And it will not be done, but now, O God, strengthen my hands. What do you see there? What's the first tool that we are looking at to help us to overcome challenges, discouragement, opposition, when we are doing God's will? Prayer. A vital tool. You see that over and over again. Especially when you look throughout the scriptures, you will see when the faithful, those who strive to serve God and are facing challenges, you will see them engaging in prayer. Over and over again. I think of what the psalmist says over in Psalms chapter 88, verses 1 through 4. Turn with me there and notice, this is a psalm by the sons of Korah. And notice how they are expressing the words in engaging in prayer here. Psalms chapter 88, verses 1 through 4. And notice how they do this or point these things out as setting that example for us. O Lord, the God of my salvation, I have cried out by day and in the night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul has had enough troubles and my life is drawn near to Sheol, the grave. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I have become like a man without strength. See what he's pointing out here in prayer, going to God. And here is the psalm. And think about this. This would be one of the chants that they would use in their worship to God. You know, some of our hymns and some of our songs are songs of prayer when we're singing them. I hope that you notice that. Notice in our hymnal, song number 599, I thought was a song that David on occasion leads us in. And the title of that song is, We Bow Down in Reverence. And notice the first stanza where he says, please hear our prayer, holy God. Oh, let our words come to thee. We bow down in reverence, for we believe. That's a prayer. So when we're singing this song, we're singing a prayer. And there are other songs in our hymnal that is songs of prayers that we're singing. Just as the psalmist or the sons of Korah has developed and written this psalm here, it's a song of prayer to God. That tells you how important prayer is, that we see the faithful engaging in these things. Another example of the faithful engaging in prayer is over in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And remember, God has made the promise to Abraham about his seed. And here Abraham is older now, and God hasn't, in his mind, has an answer, so he is struggling with this. I want you to notice what Abraham does. Chapter 15, and notice verses 1 through 6. This is, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." Now notice what's going on. Abraham is praying to God, talking with the Lord about this promise that was made to him, and then knowing that it was only Eleazar that he had from Damascus that was heir, and God is saying, no, he's not the one. Sarah's going to give birth. Do you see what happened here? As he engaged in this, God answers, strengthens Abraham, and then notice it says he believed. And it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Those are very powerful things that are going on here. And looking at those who would engage in such. Notice chapter 17. Let me go back here. Chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. And again, the struggles they are having, getting older, and yet God hasn't answered that yet or fulfilled what he has promised yet. And so there, these things kind of creep in. That was a challenge for Abraham and Sarah. And so verse 15, in verse 15 of Genesis 17, again, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples will come from her. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You see what he's doing? He's struggling with this. God hasn't answered yet. It's taken a while. And notice what he's doing. Even though he is suggesting to God how to do this, but still what he's done, he's engaged with God and praying to him. And that's an encouragement. That's a lesson for us, to encourage us that as we're struggling, doing the work of God, and we don't know is this the right decision that I'm making in doing this? Let's engage with God. Let's pray to him. Ask him to help us with our struggles. Here's another example of faithful engaging prayer. And we might not think so, but this person is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, or verse 32. And that's Samson. In Judges chapter 16, verse 28. Do you see the struggles that Samson had? He allowed the visual sights to take precedent in his life. And so now his sight is taken away. He is being ridiculed by the Philistines. And they will just bring him out for entertainment. And it is there that Samson prays to God as they had brought him out and they put him between the two pillars of the temple of where they were having their amusement of him, and he asked God for strength just one more time. Yes. In the midst of being ridiculed, had every opportunity, given strength. And at times what he would do, he would show his superiority over the Philistine by the strength and might of God. And after violating the Nazarite vow, now he asks God to give him strength. And God provides that. He slays the Philistine, a great number of them, in his death. God mentions him as being faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. What does that tell us? It tells us we need to engage with God in prayer. As we're doing his will, as we face those challenges, that's how we overcome them. And God provides for us. In fact, when you're looking at Abraham, and when you're looking at Samson and many others that are facing these struggles and challenges, James just encouraged us to do so. He encourages us to count those various trials that we come into. He says, you count it with all joy. And what it's doing, it's building our character. And as it's building our character, may we be able to see that in these struggles, in these challenges. Then he says, if we lack wisdom, ask of God. What is James saying? James is saying, you engage in prayer. Talk with the Lord. Just as you see with Abraham. Just as you saw with Samson. And there are many others throughout the scriptures that we see. Talks about this. So this is the point that James is making when you look back at Abraham. When you look back at Samson. Here's another aspect of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is through verses 8 through 10. Again, illustrating James's point again when Paul has the thorn in the flesh and he says he implored God about it three times. And God's response was, my grace is sufficient for thee. And notice the wisdom and the confidence and the courage that Paul now has because of that. Gladly, he says, he will rejoice or boast in his infirmities. Why? Because the power of Christ is resting on him. So prayer is a very powerful tool. And you see Nehemiah and those back there building or rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, engaging in the work of God, praying, and God providing them the strength that they need to overcome their challenges and struggles becomes a great lesson for us. What are some other things, too, that helps us to overcome these challenges and struggles as we're doing the work of God? Look at chapter 2 again, and notice of Nehemiah, verses 18 and 20. And I hope that you begin to see the point that comes out from here. Verse 18, remember, as Nehemiah has told them about the hand of God being favorable to him, and also about the king's word. And notice he says, so they put their hands to the good work. And they talks about the struggle with Sanballat and Tobiah. In verse 20, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Notice what they say. Look at chapter 6 and verse 9. In chapter 6, as he talks about the work of them trying to discourage and frighten. They will become discouraged with the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hand. Look at another passage, chapter 8. In chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. It says, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy day. This is after they had done and completed the work. Now, they had done and completed the work. Notice, as he goes on and he points out, then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people because they had been weeping. They had been grieved. So they calmed the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. And then you look at chapter 9. When you look at chapter 9, what happened is the people now are gathered together. They are confessing their sin. They had met at the water gate. And they understood. And what we need to understand, when we are engaging in the work of God and building to overcome these challenges and struggles, we must see that the struggle is worth it. We have to see that. If we don't see it, then we're going to give up. We're not going to see that value, and we're going to miss out. And this is what was going on with the people as they were grieving. They were weeping. And they are now being told, no, this is a holy day. There's no need to be grieved. The struggle was worth it. You see, when they were constructing the rebuilding the walls, each family had their part to play in the building. And they had their names on it. Each family was assigned a section to build in regards to the wall. And as they had engaged in building the wall, and as it was completed, and when they meet by the water gate there shouldn't have been any weeping or crying, unless it's in reference to joy. And that's what Nehemiah and Ezra, they were trying to get them to see that we have to see that the work of God and the challenges and the struggles that we face are worth it. They are. They should cause us to rejoice as we are doing and completing God's will in our lives. It's occasion to do so. It should provide us strength. It should provide us with the joy that comes from doing the work of God, God being pleased, and it should be our source of strength. I got to get it done. Why? Because the Lord will be pleased, and when the Lord is pleased, and His joy, that all that's surrounding Him and my connection to those things should fill me with that joy. And it becomes worth it. Notice a few passages with me again of how that point is expressed in other sections of Scripture. Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, here is what we are seeing here from Luke's writing. To notice, this is the parable, several parables of Luke 15. I titled that section really the parable of lost and found things. Because you have the lost sheep. You have the lost coin. And when they were searching and then they find it, what happens? There is the rejoicing that goes on. And what Jesus teaches here in Luke 15, he says, that's the way it is in heaven when one sinner repents. It is filled with joy that one sinner repented. It was worth it. It's worth it. That's what we're being told, that such things are worth it. The sheep that was searched for, when it's found, it was worth searching, facing the challenges to rescue or to return that sheep to the fold. It was worth it in the value of that coin. It meant something. It would be able to purchase what one may need, give them some financial stability. It was worth it. As they searching all over, because they saw the value of it. And so doing the work of God, we have to see the value. And in the process of reaching others and helping them to come to know the Christ, that they would submit their souls to Him, the struggle and the challenges are worth it. It really is. And this is what we're being told. That's what we are seeing in reference to these thoughts that are coming about. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Remember, this is one of the passages that was used to show that as we're doing God's will, we're going to face challenges. We're going to have some struggles. Yeah, we are. And God, knowing this, through the apostles, prophets who wrote these things down, is to encourage us. So in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, and notice what the apostle writes to the Galatian brethren. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. See there? It's worth it. It's worth it. Reaping eternal life. There is nothing more valuable than eternal life that God provides. And so when the apostle is writing this, guided by the Spirit is letting us know there is nothing more important than eternal life. There is value in this. And so he goes on to point out, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So what helps us or strengthens us through the weariness, through the struggles, through the challenges? Seeing the worth, the value, and the value, eternal life. The value, soul being saved, as well as your own. Yeah. Seeing that those things helps us to overcome them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. The ultimate example is the example of Jesus. And you can look at Hebrews chapter 12 and ask this question to see the value that Christ saw. Remember the cloud of witnesses mentioned in chapter 11, there in verse 1 of chapter 12, tells us to lay aside the sin that entangles us, to fix our eyes on Jesus. Now notice the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The joy. Despising the shame. See the struggle? You see the challenge that's there? And now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What was the joy that was seen? The joy that was seen and the worthy in value were you and me. Yeah. And the encouragement is for us to see the worthiness of the struggles and challenges that we face in building. Or we can ask the question this way. What if Christ had not endured the cross? What would be the result? You and I would have to pay the penalty ourselves and be condemned eternally. The joy to see that if he endured the cross, you and I would not have to pay the penalty, and we would have the chance at eternal life with God, sparing us. And notice, because of that, not only the angels and the host of glory rejoicing at this, so should you and I be rejoicing at that, because he did endure the cross. Having that same view. You see, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're going to have the same view that Jesus had. We're going to see that value. We're going to see that it's worth it. And that's the beauty of this. And God knew that we would have these challenges and struggles. And so he points these things out to us. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 21, just kind of highlight this a little bit. Remember, it was the glory to be revealed. The present suffering is not worthy to compare with the glories to be revealed. The sons of God, set free from the slavery of corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's what Romans 8 is pointing out and doing for us. And then another example that you and I are, and many of us may be familiar with, is the story of Jacob. Do you know when God said in chapter 25 of Genesis, there was that struggle within the womb? Rebecca, there's a struggle. That the older is going to serve the younger. And we see that play out when Jacob sees the value of the birthright. Esau despised it. And then in chapter 32, as Jacob had fled because of the anger of Esau, he might take his life, spends time with Laban, he is blessed with herds and a family. And as he's getting ready to meet Esau, remember he stays on the other side of the river while they went ahead, and he wrestles. There is that imagery. He wrestles with a man. And it says he did it all night. What was going on? What's the imagery there? What's the picture? Jacob seeing the value. He says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob saw the value. Jacob took the pain and suffering of a dislocated hip because he saw the value. He endured that pain. And some of us know it's painful, the hip area, isn't it? It can be very painful. It can be crippling pain. Jacob endured the pain. Why? Because he saw the value of the blessing. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the end result, Jacob had striven with God. He's no longer Jacob, he's Israel. because he's contended or striven with God and has succeeded. That's what you and I need to do and realize, that the struggle is worth it. The pain that we go through, the challenges, the ridicule for serving and building as God instructs us to build and to be. In fact, Jacob even says, I have seen God face to face. It was worth it. That's the imagery. That's the picture. That's the lesson that's coming from these kinds of things. And we see them. And as we maintain that attitude as Nehemiah, it's worth the struggle, worth those challenges, as he prays about it. And now as he prayed about it, he saw the value. Here's something else as we begin to wind down the lesson in class. Look again at chapter 1. In verse 7 of Nehemiah, he says, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Chapter 8 in verse 1. And all the people gathered, as they had done in regards to after the completion, as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. What were they doing? They wanted it read. What does that tell you? Overcoming our challenges and struggles, the word of the Lord is going to help us. How is the word of the Lord going to help us? Look at what it did with the folks here. There was the impact. Chapter 9, the people are confessing their sins. And remember, it's a holy day. It's a day of joy. Rejoicing. So the word of the Lord does this for us. And so Nehemiah points that out. Notice even in the law, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 8 through 16, Moses says, life and prosperity has been set before me. Death and adversity. If you hear and listen, life and prosperity. If you disobey, death, adversities here. And you look back at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and what we're seeing in the commandments that God gave through Moses to the children of Israel is life and prosperity. Means of encouragement. And you could see that as you read the history. When they were obedient to God, God amply supplied them. God fought their battles, but when they disobeyed him, this is why Jerusalem was destroyed in the first place, because of their disobedience to God. The passage that Brother Jason read to us, Romans chapter 15, also talks about that. Notice here in the law that was given through to Moses for the children of Israel, and God communicated his will through the prophets, the fathers, in various ways and portions, as Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 points out. But Romans here in chapter 15, I think, is an encouragement for us to see the value of the word of the Lord. And sometimes we overlook this. But here we are told, as the strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves, helping and building each other up, as he says. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification or building up. Remember, that's a part of the let us arise and build here. And then he says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He took the blows. Took it. There is Satan ready to strike a blow of death. There is the Christ in the way. Boom, and takes the blow for us. That's the imagery. That's the picture. When we look at the cross, we should be on the cross. Christ took the blow for us. Yeah. So when we're looking at the cross of Christ, that's what we should see, part of what we should see. There's a lot of other things we should be seeing as well. But here is Christ taking the blow for you and me. And that's what the Paul is pointing out to the Roman Christians. For even Christ did not, as he said, verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance, there is the challenges and struggles that we face, that we may endure those things. And the encouragement, the strengthening, concerning the scriptures, we might have hope. That we see the value. Strengthen us in seeing that value. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. These things were written for you and me. Even the things aforetime, we learned from them as we have done when we looked at the life of Abraham, when we looked at Samson. That's what we have seen. That's the point of those things. To give us encouragement, to strengthen us. To see the value, the struggles that we're going to face. One way or another, we're going to face struggles in this life. That's just bottom line. That's a fact. That's unchangeable. The question is, what value is the struggle in this life without God? And at the end, live eternally without God. So the scriptures are reminding us of these things, pointing them out. The scripture, the word of the Lord plays a very important part in this. So that with one accord you may be with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, just a beautiful passage to help us to see the value of the word of the Lord. John chapter 8, John says, where John records of what Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what it does. It sets us free. We realize the avenue to become unchained to the world and then connected to God. There's great value in that. Freedom. To serve God. And that concept is the same thing that Moses said to Pharaoh, that God has promised to those who are faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, I just want to highlight that. I would encourage you, if you will, read that whole chapter. Because the point that's being brought out in the chapter and the highlight, verse 5, it produces faith in God. That's what the word does. Faith in God. That's why you have Nehemiah doing what he's doing. He trusts God. His faith is in God. He's praying to God. And as he's going through the struggles and challenges, he's constantly praying to the Lord. Why is that? Is because faith is produced in him toward God. Verse 9, it reveals what God has prepared for us. Verses 10 through 12, It shows us and reveals to us the mind of God, a mind of love, a mind of peace, a mind of hope for you and me. Verses 13 through 16, knowing the mind of Christ and then producing the mind of Christ. That's what the word of the Lord does. And then finally, the word of the Lord in helping us to overcome our challenges and struggles is what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Turn over there with me. I want you to notice what Peter points out. In those verses, Peter realizes his death is imminent. But he says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. Even though we know them, we still need reminders. Still need reminders. The Holy Spirit through Peter recognizes that. And Peter writes it down for us to be able to read these things. And he says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. We need stirring up from every now and then, don't we? You know how you said a little while, maybe a particular, if you drink tea, if you drink other things that lemonade and all that stuff. And notice, if it sets for a while, what happens? It starts to settle, doesn't it, at the bottom. And what do? A lot of times, we take it, stir it up. Why do we do that? It's so that it will get that mixture. Get the mixture going. Peter's saying, that's what we need. We need stirring up. And that's what he is doing as he reminds them of these things. And that's what the word of the Lord does. It reminds us. It stirs us up to move forward as we continue to build, doing his work. And so, a very valuable lesson in helping us to overcome challenges and struggles is prayer. Struggle is worth it. The word of God. The word of the Lord. These are powerful things to help us to overcome. And God encourages us to use them throughout. Pray without ceasing. Those kinds of things. Anxiety, let your request be made known to God. Those kinds of things. Throughout, we're told to use them. So if you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Lord, thank you for the tools that you have provided to help us to overcome the challenges and struggles as we do your work. We pray that you'll help us, Lord, throughout and strengthen us so that we might accomplish your will, that you'll be pleased with us, that our hearts and minds will be filled with joy when we will rejoice before you, and especially as souls repent and turn to you before it's everlasting too late, that their souls will be washed, cleansed by the blood of our Lord in Christ, that we too can share in the life eternal that you have promised to those who are faithful, to spend it with you. And may we see, Lord, that these things are worth it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian, you can become one. You can begin your walk with the Lord. God has provided, even in the midst of challenges that you might face, where you could be with him throughout eternity. As you see, he is our creator. And because of our sin, we are chained to sin. We are on the path and road of destruction. We have been separated from God. But the Christ came and died for us so that we could be united with him. That is God's grace. And God expects and demands that we, in order to partake of these things,